Here with Lords of the Trident singer Fang Van Rothenstein. And great to have you on the show and talk a bit about what's going on. What's currently going on with the band right now?
Well, as of right now, we are actually about to start recording the latest album. It's a full-length album. We actually have our producer and engineer coming into the studio this next weekend, this coming weekend, setting up microphones and, you know, casting all the demonic spells and all that sort of, you know how recording goes. I mean, you know, all the sorts of blood sacrifices and things that you have to do before, you know, all the prep work, the boring stuff, before we start in on the album. And then, of course, in between recording and whatnot, we are also heading out for our summer Trident Tour 2014. We're doing a little bit of a southern tour. We're kind of dipping south a bit on our way in late June to one of our favorite festivals in the United States, Warriors of Metal Festival. And so we're returning there after a two-year hiatus from playing the fest. You know, we all went to the fest and such and had a good time, but excited to be back. And so we're going to be playing, you know, doing, I think it's like 10 dates or something like that. We're just hoping that our trusty Trident Mobile does not break down this time on the way. Luckily, we are avoiding this tour. We're avoiding West Virginia 100%, so we feel that the Coalville Hills will probably not take its toll on the van. Hopefully, you know, we're just going to avoid mountains and hills in general until we get a beefier van with a beefier engine. So.
Now, were these songs on this new EP that you put out, were these leftovers from, say, a couple of your previous albums, or were these just brand new songs you decided to put out just for fun?
Well, you know, they were not leftovers. So the original plan, right, when about a year before we put that EP out, we got hooked up with this producer, Martin Atkins. He's a former drummer for Nine Inch Nails, and he drummed for a bunch of other industrial bands that you may or may not have heard of, Killing Joke, Pigface, lots of Ministry. He drummed for them for a while. So, and he's this amazing, like, crazy-haired British dude. Like, he has crazy white hair that poofs out everywhere, and you know, we sit down, he's like, hey, Fang, you got to listen to me, because I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, alright, you know, tell me what I should do. He's like, what was your favorite shows that you ever played? You know, what were the best ones? And, you know, and I sat and thought about it for a while, and, you know, and I said, well, yeah, obviously the CD release shows are usually the best ones, you know, those are the craziest and the most fun, and we get the most people. I say, exactly, the CD release shows. So what you got to do is, instead of like making one full-length CD and releasing it like once a year or once every other, you know, once every 2 years, you make a bunch of EPs, man, and then you release it like every 6 months, and now you have a CD release show like every 6 months, and everybody loves it. And I was all into the idea, you know. I was jamming on this. I thought this was a great idea. And so we tried it out. You know, we jumped in the studio. Martin hooked us up with this incredible producer and engineer, Doug Olson. He's probably best known for working with Smashing Pumpkins, Cheap Trick, that kind of stuff. But he actually also kind of co-engineered with Butch Vig. He was working on Nirvana's Nevermind album at the time they were recording it. So, you know, he's got a bit of a resume behind him. And so... You know, we hit it off right away. I mean, the first thing he does when he comes into our practice space is he grabs one of the axes on the wall. You know, doesn't even say a word. We have a nice axe fight. I mean, that's the kind of a producer that you know you can trust. You know, when a guy just walks into the studio, grabs an axe, you know, fight to the almost death kind of a thing. So we got him going, and we just hit it off. So he's coming. So we did this EP. And we were super happy with it. The guys, I was ready to do the next EP, right? And the guys, they apparently were not so big on it. They didn't really feel, and I don't know how you feel, because some people agree with this and some people don't. So, you know, I'd like to get your opinion on it. But, you know, the guys looked at the EP and they're like, you know, they kind of felt weird about having a whole big, you know, to do, a whole big, like, CD release party, just for, like, a four-song EP, you know? And apparently a bunch of them said that, when they, you know, when they check out bands online, when they go to Encyclopedia Metallicum or whatever, you know, they tend to skip the EP stuff, and they just go for the full-length album kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that's what you do as well. I was, like I said, I was digging the EP idea, but I kind of got, you know, outvoted, out-arm-wrestled by the rest of the guys. And so this next album that we're working on is a full length.
Well, the EP was the first thing I listened to.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I guess that answers that question. So, yeah, point one for Fang and no points for the rest of the guys.
Well, it's interesting because I didn't really even listen to the other records until I heard the EP. In fact, the EP was the first thing I listened to and probably the only thing I listened to because it was the newest thing you had out. So I decided to listen to that over and over again for about a month. And then suddenly you go back and listen to the other records. But you can just tell on this EP, number one, that you took a step up in songwriting. You took a step up in production. And, you know, and sometimes some songs, they just... You know, you got four songs, you can't think of anything else, or you know, you don't think you want to write anything that's going to fit with these four tracks, and you just go with it. And I've done that too in my own band as well. So I think that the EP was great, and I like it the way it is.
Well, you know, and it was just nice because there was I agree with you 100%. I think the production, when you get somebody in the studio who really knows what they're doing, you know, who has the credits behind their name, and they, you know, they've done it for 20, 30, et cetera, years. You know, that really makes a big difference. I mean, the first two albums, we actually recorded and produced and mixed and mastered and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all ourselves. And, you know, the first album, you know, we were still kind of new to the whole thing. The second album, I think sounds okay, but compared to the EP and hopefully compared to this new album that we're going to be putting out, you know, having a professional producer, a professional engineer behind it really brings it to the next level. And I don't, you know, I don't think I could go back. You know, I couldn't go back to like self-producing albums unless I'm going with my like acoustic indie barbarian, you know, black metal side project that's supposed to sound terrible or something like that. I don't know.
Well, it's you could be in a band with a guitar player or a musician in a band that can make things sound great, but really, you know, what's missing from a lot of music today too is that other voice that comes into play. And when you produce your own stuff, it's almost like you second guess yourself. Does this sound good? Does this not sound good? And it's always great to have that other voice, that other producer in the.
And sometimes you can't see the forest from the trees. You know, sometimes you overproduce it, and sometimes you end up underproducing it because you know you're too close to it, or you can't see the flaws. And it's just, I agree with you. It is good to have another set of eyes on it for sure.
Well, I have to say that you guys have a great grasp on melody, and you have really refined songs. And you know, going back and looking up stuff about the band, I'm really surprised that you guys aren't more well known than what you actually are.
Well, you know, I mean, we used to be pretty well known back in the Middle Ages. You know, back in the 1342 European tour. Unfortunately, most of our diehard fans from that era are just dead fans now. So yeah, we're kind of coming back from scratch. You know, we put out that first album in 2008, the next album in 2011, and then this EP was 2013. So you know, I mean, we're doing it one fan at a time, little by little. So I'm hoping that you know, doing more of these interviews and getting the word spread around will increase our fame again, and we'll be back to playing, you know, bowls and arenas and all that sort of, you know, and presidential lawns before you know it, you know.
Now, out of curiosity, with the type of music that you write and some of the music that you have and in listening to the stuff you've put out, you're getting a lot more, being from the States, you're getting a lot more feedback from the States, or are you getting more from Europe?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, a lot more from Europe than I would have expected in terms of just being, exposed to the American, you know, print media and online media for so long. I would say, you know, I would say it's probably a good 50-50 in terms of reception from coming from Europe, coming from America, also coming from like Japan and places like that. But you know, for the last EP, it's been all good. I mean, it's been we've been getting very, very high marks, which is fantastic. You know, they must have been getting the death threats in the mail from the last album. So, I mean, you know, so obviously that's been working for us, which is good. So we're going to keep that up. But but yeah, I do agree with you. I think that, you know, everybody has, and our PR manager and everybody has, you know, said, oh, you know, you got to do a European tour, you got to go over to Japan and Europe and blah, 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 blah. And man, I want to. I would love to. It's really just a question of, you know, budgeting and getting the gold pieces in line. Because, I mean, right now, I mean, after that, you know, ill-fated, we had an ill-fated tour last summer where our trusty Tritomobile, we would travel around in this giant monstrosity of a 15-passenger church van, you know, and it broke down in the rural, very, very rural hills of West Virginia, and it was, you know, one of those, like, deliverance scenes where, you know, it was kind of like, how much you got to fix it kind of a thing, and the guy, you know, had less teeth in his mouth than there were, you know, swords in the van, that kind of a thing. So I mean, like, you know, we're kind of low on the band fund right now, so we don't have the thousands and millions of dollars to throw around to do airfare and things like that. So, man, I would freaking love to go to Europe, to go to Japan, and just do all that. But it's really just, you know, I want somebody, you know, and I would pay somebody just to sit down and, like, plan it all out. And, you know, and show me, like, ah, here's your Excel spreadsheet, and you're in the green $500 after all of this, and all the expenses are paid for, and here's where you're sleeping, and here's how you're getting from point A to point B, and here's how you ship explosives through the mail, and this is how we can pack up your giant Trident confetti cannon and ship it over on a boat, you know, like stuff like that, you know, seriously, you know, because there's bands out there that really just have to grab their guitars and go, and they can have a backline in Europe or whatever. But man, we got to think about our armor. We got to think about our weapons. We got to think about the confetti cannons, all of the explosives that we bring with us. You know, we set guitars on fire and microphones on fire. We have, like, specific instruments to set on fire for these shows. So, you know, there's a lot more logistical stuff with our show in terms of traveling overseas than you'd have with, like, a standard, like, jeans and t-shirt type of band.
Well, you know, maybe you have some fans. Maybe you got some of the guys, some of the immortals from the Highlander series, you know, checking out Lords of the Trident. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, those guys are great, but, you know, they take their metal a little bit too seriously. If it doesn't have a bagpipe in it, sometimes they get a little upset. So, you know, it's kind of difficult in that regard.
They're probably listening to Gravedigger.
Well, and there's so few of them, you know. You can't fill an amphitheater with Highlanders. They'll cut off all their heads, and then you'll be left with, like, one guy. And who's going to buy the, you know, like, that one guy isn't going to buy, like, $200 of merch. He's just going to buy a patch and get out of there, you know. And then you got to clean up, you know. There's all that blood and stuff like that. And, I mean, we take off enough limbs in normal concerts as it is. You know, I don't want to deal with all these freaking heads rolling around everywhere, so... Anyway, yeah. Highlanders are great guys, but don't put them all together in one room, let me tell you that.
Now let's talk a little bit about your upcoming record. Have you guys started recording anything, and how would you compare some of the music on this upcoming album to, say, some of the stuff you've already put out?
Oh, well, I'm sure every artist forever says this, but I am, like... You know, we made these giant whiteboards in our practice space, and I'm standing in front of them right now and just looking down the list of songs, and, you know, like, there is no song on this whiteboard that I think is even, like, you know, even just okay. I think they're all, like, freaking amazing. I'm legitimately really excited to show every song to our fans, to people out there. I think this album actually is going to be really, really, really strong. You know, this is going to be one of those albums that I feel like when it's all done, you know, if somebody asks, like, okay, what album should I listen to first to get into Lords of the Trident, I feel like this is going to be the one, you know. We have a lot of... this one is actually pretty balanced in terms of, because we have, you know, we've got two lead guitarists, Asia Metal and Killius Maximus, and sometimes those guys, you know, sometimes you can have an album with mostly Killius, sometimes mostly Asia Metal, and actually this album is mostly, is balanced. I think there's a 50-50 split. Maybe maybe 60-40 or 55-45 or something like that, in terms of who wrote what song. But, you know, I think there's a pretty, you know, pretty even split in terms of that. And so I'm really excited to, you know, to play the drinking game with the fans. Like, you know, okay, is this an Asian Metal joint or Achilles Maximus joint, you know?
Well, when I listen to the album and I listen to the quality of the songwriting on the EP, and with each release you get better and better, and it seems like the step up in production and songwriting will probably translate into this upcoming album.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and we try to, you know, we try to abide by a all killer no filler type of attitude. Because, you know, especially today, with today's music, I mean, if you want to capture somebody's attention for an entire album's length, you really can't, like, mess around. You know, back in the 80s, early 90s, you could throw in a few songs that weren't so great. Nobody would really balk at it because they were buying the whole album anyway. But nowadays, I mean, you know, you can buy MP3 singles and things like that online via iTunes and stuff like that. So if you really want someone to sit down and listen to a work, you know, from a band, you have to make sure that is, you know, really, really, really strong. So I think that's what we're going for this one.
Now, do you have a working title or any concept behind the record?
Yeah, right now the working title is Unite, but we haven't really completely solidified it yet because, you know, Asian Metal had this idea that, you know, if we were gonna, he is a man who loves the quote-unquote title tracks, you know, like, for instance, Plan of Attack off of the EP Plan of Attack, Asian Metal wrote that one, you know, and Chains on Fire off of Chains on Fire, Asian Metal wrote that one, and so he's really, you know, he's really lamenting the fact that there is no song in our current lineup called Unite, you know, and we're about to go in the studio, so now is not the time to sit down and write a brand new, you know, amazing song that will also be your title track. You know, I mean, like, that's just not, you know, that's just not good form. So, you know, I like the title. In fact, we had kind of all the album titles planned out, you know, 3-4 years ago when we went back in to record Death is Sandwich. But it could change. I'm not super married to that one.
So how many songs are going to be on this upcoming album you guys are going to be putting out? And do you have any thoughts of maybe a title track getting written from now until the recording ends?
Well, as it is right now, I think it's highly doubtful considering the tours and the shows that we've got going on up until the album's going to be done. I don't think it's plausible that he could pull something out at the very last minute that could be gold, and I would say, you know, yeah, go for it. But at this point, I'm not sure that he's going to actually write a title track, nor are we planning on it. But you never know with Asian Metal. He's a trickster. So right now we have 9 songs that are ready to go, you know. And some people say, oh, 9 songs, that doesn't sound too long. But, you know, then you think about it, it's a metal album. So, I mean, every song is at least like 5 minutes and, you know, 39 seconds or something like that. Because
yeah. You
have to give... You have to give each guitarist enough time to, like, solo to their heart's content on every song. So, you know how it is. I mean, especially when you have 2 lead guitarists, you know, you get into that battle, like, oh, well, your solo is 2 seconds longer than mine. All right, well, we'll extend it, you know, 2 more bars so you get your damn solo, blah, 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 you know. So that's how it goes. So that's why the songs are so long, because everybody needs to solo forever, apparently. You know, not that I'm really complaining. I mean, I love their face-melting solos. So yeah, we got 9 songs, and oh my god, I'm so excited to get this album out. There's one song I will say this right here, right now on this radio show. There's one song on this album that I think is my favorite Lords of the Trident song ever written, ever recorded, ever performed, ever. It's written by Asian Metal. It's a song called Manly Witness. And, you know, we haven't performed it for anybody. We haven't performed it live. We haven't even, you know, let people come down and listen to it, you know, when we're practicing. Because Asian Metal has this, like, veil of secrecy about it. And you know, for good measure. Because, I mean, this song is probably the strongest song we've ever written. So when this album comes out, I want you to remember Manly Witness, that track, I want you to turn that on, and then you can either say yes or no. You know, Fang was right. That is the best song I've ever heard in my entire life. I can burn my entire rest of, you know, this section of giant pyre outside in my backyard because this is the only CD that I'm going to need because I've heard Manly Witness.
Well, before I get to my last question, Fang, do you have any, you know, you want to talk about some of the websites you have for the band? Where can people check you out? Where can people buy your music? And tell all the fans.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if you want to, if you know not of the Lords of the Trident, then I would say go to our main website, which is www.lordsofthetrident.com. From there, you can get to all of our other, you know, sister sites, our Facebook, our Twitter, our YouTube, our Google Plus, which has a whole whopping 8 followers. Yay, Google Plus. our Reverb Nation. We've got about a, you know, Google Lords of the Trident, and you'll get 50 pages full of Lords of the Trident. Because back in the day, you know, I took some Barbarian Night classes at our local Barbarian Community College on the website design and the internet and stuff like that, because I figured I had to get, you know, up in the know, in terms of technology. So I just signed this up. You know, while Asian Metal and Achilles Maximus are sitting in their dens, like, needling 25 hours a day, you know, on their guitars, I'm sitting on the computer, you know, signing us up for every new website that comes out there. So you can find Lords of the Trident pretty much anywhere. But our main site, again, is lordsofthetrident.com. We've got our shop up there. You know, you can purchase our album via iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody. We're on Spotify. Napster apparently is still a thing, and we're there. So, you know, just anywhere you can get MP3s online, you will find Lords of the Trident. And also, you know, make sure to check out our music videos, too. We've got a bunch of music videos on YouTube. We also posted a full concert from our CD release of Plan of Attack on there, so you can check it out. Some of the audio got the good audio from the board got destroyed, but we got some mixed audio from some cameras. So, you know, you can kind of get a semi idea of what a Lords of the Trident concert looks like with all the fire and the you know, and the screams and the loss of limbs and things like that. So if, you know, if all of this rambling has left you confused, just remember one thing: www.lordsofthetrident.com. Go there or else.
Any last words for any of the metalheads that are going to be checking out this interview on the show?
Well, I would say, you know, if you haven't heard of Lords of the Trident, A, shame on you, and B, check out our website, you know, download all of our music legally, illegally, you know, I don't care, I'm still going to come burn down your house when they come on tour and rip off your face with their solos. So, and just like my barbarian grandma always said, you can't stay true if you're listening to Nickelback, so hey man, delete that out of your iTunes library, replace it with some Lords of the Trident, and check out our shows. We're going to, on our website, lordsofthetrident.com, we got all our shows listed. We're going to be on tour. If we're coming anywhere remotely close within, you know, 12-hour driving distance, you got to pack up at least 40 friends, you know, rent a bus, and just come out to our shows, because it's going to be 100% worth your while.